everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Conference championship weekend. Packers, Niners, Titans, Chiefs. Two games with great potential. Also, this panel. Koflaski, you have potential. Sarah Spain, you have potential. Clinton Yates, you have potential. Bob Ryan, you have potential. You have potential. Both these games had regular season matchups. Week 10, Kansas City at Tennessee. It was 188 for Derrick Henry. It was Patrick Mahomes' comeback from the knee injury game. It was Tannehill to Humphreys with 23 seconds left to win the game. Week 12, Packers at Niners. This was a bloodletting. Garoppolo near perfect. Rodgers, the exact opposite, 104 yards total passing. Didn't convert a third down on the Niners defense. San Francisco 37, Green Bay 8. What those two results mean come Sunday, open for your interpretation. Let's start in chrono with Titans Chiefs. Bill Plaschke, first question to you. Who's coming in playing better?
Tony, I knew that question was coming. My lapel just buzzed on me. Thank you very much for that.
All right, Dodger Bill. I understand.
The Chiefs, I'm going with the team that scored 51 points in this last three quarters. The team whose quarterback scored five touchdown passes. The team who, in the last 2 months, its defense leads the league in points per game in QBR. The Chiefs are playing. Everybody thinks it's the Titans. The Chiefs are playing better right now.
We don't know what everybody thinks. We haven't asked everybody. Thank you very much, Bill Plaschke. Sarah Spain, who comes into Sunday playing better?
And anybody who thinks it's the Titans thinks that because they're right. This is a team that has not kicked a field goal in weeks. They're 100% from the red zone in the postseason. They have a running back who is doing things that no one has ever done. Three straight games, 180-plus yards. They have a quarterback who's thrown one pick in the postseason, and other than that, has basically taken advantage of every single opportunity. They have a coach who puts a game plan into place and somehow manages to win games even when they're outgained by 200-plus yards. It is the Titans, because you asked who is playing better.
Glenn Yates, who's playing better right now?
It's got to be the Chiefs. If I asked you what team still in the playoffs even last week could have possibly come back from down 24 zap in the first half of a game, the only answer would have been the Chiefs, because you know how much they can strike on offense in terms of what Mahomes can do. It's got to be them, in my opinion. And I think psychologically, for them to go into this game and think, hey, listen, any lead basically doesn't really matter because of what we can do, it's the Chiefs bottom line.
Bob Ryan, who's coming in playing better?
I'm going to go all Alex Trebek on you, Tony.
Yes, sir.
And as it goes as follows. They have just beaten the defending champion and the presumptive new champions convincingly. They have an unstoppable force in the backfield. Who are they?
The Tennessee Titans. Yes, I understand where you're going here. Potent Potables is next. So Bob thinks Tennessee comes in playing best. Well, let me ask it this way then. Who would you rather have Sunday? Patrick Mahomes or Derrick Henry? Bill Plaschke, first to you.
Oh, I would have Patrick Mahomes, because I think the Titans defense cannot stop him. I think the Chiefs defense can slow down Henry and put it on Tannehill. And so because if you take Henry, that means you got to take Tannehill. Tannehill hasn't thrown for 100 yards in the last two games. A.J. Brown's caught two passes in two games. Their passing game is non-existent, and they're going to have to use that at some point to win this game. So I go with
that. Sarah, do you have the same answer? You alluded to Henry's record postseason before.
Right. I would rather have Mahomes because I think even Mahomes not at his best can play better because of the weapons on that Chiefs offense than Henry not at his best. Not because I think the Tannehill and that offense can't go deep. In fact, we saw it in their victory over the Chiefs earlier in the season. They beat him with a surprise deep ball. It's just that I think Henry is so important to their success that I would rather have Mahomes because even half of Mahomes is better than most QBs.
Would you say this game goes as far as Derrick Henry goes, Sarah Spain?
Yes.
Clint Yates, how about you?
No, because the Derrick Henry could still have a monster game and they could still lose. This is getting back to my point about what happened last week. Dominating time of possession doesn't mean squat against a team like the Chiefs who could score apparently on any given play and with the quickness compared to every other team in the NFL. The Chiefs actually won the time of possession battle in that previous game that they lost. So that's the issue with them. The Titans have to figure out something else to do because Henry might not just be enough because of the amount of points they can
Sarah,
score.
Sarah, you want to oppose something that Clinton just said. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the Titans actually lead the league with 30 touchdowns in 3 minutes or less. So those drives are quick and fast, and they can do it better than anyone, even the Chiefs.
I didn't know that stat. Very good, Sarah. Bob Ryan, same question for you on Henry and Mahomes. Who would you rather have in this game and whether Henry's game is going to decide this ball game?
I'm kind of answering it backwards here. What people forget is how many times, especially in the 21st century of playoff football, the quarterback has not been the story. The quarterback is not the story more often it's not than not. No, I'd rather have this running back playing as well as he did. Nothing against Mahomes, but you don't have to be great. He could have a better game easily and statistically than Tannehill's going to have, and I mean, he could still lose because that's not the way these games are won.
I accept your representation there. Just picking apart more storylines here. The Chiefs' history. And Andy Reid's history in this game, not great. How do you think that affects how this game plays out, Bill Plaschke? Do you believe there's a coaching advantage, I guess, either way?
I think there's a coaching advantage. I think Andy Reid showed it. He's been here before, and he showed it, you know, leading his team back from 24-0 in the last game. But I do think Andy Reid needs this game for his reputation, because this is one of the few times he's been in the game of this magnitude where he's had the quarterback, where he's had the offense, where he's had the tools, the better tools than the other team at his disposal for his genius. This is where we'll see him come through. This is huge for Andy.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, Andy Reid's the seventh winningest coach in NFL history, the only one to go to 20 playoff games and not have a Super Bowl. I think the advantage is still to him. He's been in 27 playoff games to Vrabel's 2. I think he's ready.
Lynn Yates.
The advantage is to him because he has Eric Bieniemy, who is the obvious reason why that offense has turned into what it is in recent months. He's the one in Mahomes' ear. So I'll give it to Reid, but because of his staff, not
Bob Ryan.
Vrabel's the new hot kid in the block. He's going to have a great coaching career, no doubt. But I think Reid is in the process of cementing his reputation.
All right. I think you're leaning then, Bob Ryan, but make a pick for us. How will the game be won on Sunday? Who you got?
By the team. I'm going with Kansas City.
I have no idea how this is going to play out.
I'm going with Kansas City for your purpose, but I'm not putting any money on it.
Lynn Yates?
Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Spain?
Chiefs.
And Plaschke, you have Kansas City as well. All right.
Kansas City.
That's great for Tennessee fans to know. They're already counting you guys as a public enemy number 1, 2, 3, and 4, and now you've got that going against you. We'll move on. Packers, Niners. Clinton Yates, first to you here, going back to the regular season matchup. That was Green Bay coming off a bye, and they had the doors blown off them. No answer for anything San Francisco did. How much do you think that matchup means on Sunday?
I don't think it means a ton simply because, you know, this is just a different situation. But at that time, I mean, the way the Niners looked, they were blowing people out. We were talking about that left and right. What's more instructive to me for the Packers is to figure out what to do in the games that the Niners did lose. And that's going to involve them staying away from Sherman, which they're obviously going to try to do. But don't take too many deep shots. They're not going to give those up. Got to get down the field and make sure that you're not throwing a bunch of flat passes in order to try to, you know, get down the field. I just think overall, though, this Niners defense is too good. Like I said, Bosa is the best player on the team, and he's obviously, you know, supported by a guy like Sherman in the backfield. Love it.
Spain?
I think the game matters. The Packers have had more time for LaFleur and Rodgers to work together and get their offense functioning. But the simple fact is that the Niners are a team that can rush for. They can shut you down in the secondary. You can't throw anywhere near Sherman. And they've got a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers who can't move that well. So if you're able to put pressure on him, I think he's the fourth worst qualifying quarterback completion rating when he's under pressure. And this is a Niners team that loves to do that. Nothing has changed in terms of why these teams succeed. And so I think the result isn't going to be that different. different, although it will be closer.
Bill Plaschke.
In a rematch of teams and games decided by 29 points or more in the regular season, the winning team has won again 14 out of 20 times. So obviously the 49ers have an advantage here. And also what does not change is Aaron Rodgers had his, I believe he was 0-for-8 on downfield passes in their first meeting. It's the worst downfield performance of his career. That doesn't change. That 49er pass rush ain't going anywhere. Richard Sherman isn't going anywhere. I think the rematch would be much like the first game.
I want to focus on Aaron Rodgers, Richard Sherman matchup in a second. Can we drill down on Bill Plaschke's stat there? Okay. So in a regular season matchup, which was a blowout, 29 points, 20 meetings, and it's 14-7. That's a 70% win rate. Is that overwhelming, or were you surprised that the team that had the doors blown off did win so many of those games, six of those games? Bob Ryan, first to you.
I happen to think that that first game was a Murphy's Law aberrational nightmare for the Packers, and it will not be repeated, that's all. And if I were Matt LaFleur, I would have countless signs in the locker room and everywhere, 37-9. I'd have them when they get on the bus. I'd have them in their lobby of the hotel, 37-9. I think the Packers are going to play with a great, great amount of passion.
I think you gave them one extra point there. If he had those signs, he'd be off. It's 37-8. We'll let that one slide.
All right. 8-9.
So Aaron Rodgers is we always say quarterback versus quarterback, but they don't play against each other on the field. Rodgers versus Garoppolo. But Rodgers versus Richard Sherman. There's history here, Sarah Spain. Statistically, Richard Sherman has never allowed a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers has never thrown a TD against Richard Sherman. Is that matchup going to define this game?
Oh, it's huge, because Devontae Adams usually plays on the right side, and Aaron Rodgers' QBR is much higher when he's throwing to the right. Meanwhile, Richard Sherman's on the left, or on the right as well. So then they move Devontae Adams over to the left to try to put their best weapon on the opposite side of Sherman, but run the risk of Rodgers not being as effective to him throwing to the left. There's a ton of gamesmanship here.
Clinton Yates, I was looking at you while Sarah Spain was talking there, and I wasn't sure if you were feeling on her right side, left side. Does that matter when we're talking about matchups?
No, that's what I was talking about. The right side, left side thing is going to be crucial. They just got to make sure that they don't take too many bomb shots in order to try to beat them that quickly. But again, the factor here is Bosa. This dude hits people, and he often knocks them out of games. This is the thing that could have very well happened to an old quarterback. He's the one I'm concerned about far more than I am.
All right, let's get it. How will this game be won? And who you got, Bob Ryan? Are you going to dip your toes into how this game will be won, or are you just going to tell us who you got again?
No, I'm going to say, I think the Packers will play much, much better, but that'd be ridiculous to pick against the 49ers. I just think it'll be a much more competitive game. That's all.
Niners blowout.
Sarah Spain?
Not a blowout, but the Niners win the defense.
It's unanimous tonight.
Unanimous again. All right, here we go.
We're in
San Francisco versus Kansas City Super Bowl. Would you say that is the preferred choice, by the way, for the NFL? You guys always try to tell me this is the matchup the NFL needs. I think it's the Super Bowl. People are going to watch
no matter
what.
A rematch of Super Bowl One would be
pretty
good,
cool in the 100th year of the NFL. Yeah, that would be
that's
pretty
only
cool.
Going to be cool if they bring out that big thing that's like on the field. That's why.
Or up with people or whatever the band was that played. That's going to be the halftime show.
Yeah, yeah.
Fire till next.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Major League Baseball says they did investigate buzzers and wearable devices, found no evidence to substantiate it. So that's it. That's the end of that. Move on. Theories, conspiracy theories, butts, scuttlebutts all over the place. Fake nieces, sons of former third base coaches, even from players. Tommy Pham tweeted at the Bulge photo. Trevor Bauer said he heard players were wearing devices. Cody Bellinger wants players punished. Alex Wood said he'd rather face players on steroids than those who knew what pitch was coming. The breaking down of Altuve's ALCS winning home run and his shirt change and his shyness. He released a statement saying he wasn't wearing anything. Bill, where are you today on this? And on baseball saying, nothing to see here. Move on.
This is unbelievable. This is the most credibility cratering chaos since the Black Sox scandal. Baseball is a complete mess now. Nobody knows what to trust. If you told me a week ago that I would believe a team used a buzzer to steal signs, I'd laugh at you. Now, I believe it.
I
believe the Astros used buzzer. I'm believing it because all this is in play now. And this is baseball's fault. It needs to identify the offenders. It needs to identify the players. Forget this immunity stuff. It needs to prosecute and go after the players and make them get them out of the clubhouses, ban them like they ban the managers. They need a harder stance on this.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, for once, I'm not going to call Bill a homer for his take. I know that this Dodgers fan is, or reporter is probably feeling it more than everyone else, but I agree with him. I am much more likely to believe that this did happen. This is not a conspiracy theory. And when you add this to steroids, and is the baseball juiced, and now there's legal gambling on the sport, like, this is such a mess. And I think MLB tried to contain it with this investigation, but now we're going to find that other people, whether that's fans or reporters or other people, are more invested in finding out more than what the MLB said, oh, it's a wrap.
Your own personal opinion. Bill thinks there were wearable devices. Spain, do you?
Yeah.
Glenn Yates, how about you?
No, but I don't particularly care because to me, overall, the concept of what's happening here is what's so scary about it. I have cold nightmares. I wake up in cold sweats thinking about what we would think now if the Astros had actually won the World Series against the Nats, how much worse this would be. Overall, it's almost
pretty
like
bad as it is.
They beat the Dodgers.
What's happening?
Just it's as bad as it can be.
Settle down.
My point is that,
but he still wants that Dodgers World Series.
Cubs won fair and square, okay?
Go ahead, Clinton, please.
Cheating isn't even the right word for this, though, on some level, which is so odd. It's almost like you're trying to eliminate every single possibility of even remote fun and chance from it, which is a completely different thing from steroids. As a baseball fan, forget about just the major leagues, I am still extremely disheartened by this entire action, you know,
and Bob Ryan.
Entire situation. It sucks, man.
We've all reached the point where, though we cannot always confirm these things, we have no trouble believing these things.
You believe it too?
The climate of it, the growing awareness of the universality of the technology, and the documented story against the Astros, the allegations against the Red Sox. It's overwhelming, and how can you sit back and say I don't believe any of it?
You believe players should be punished, Bob Ryan? That MLB should reopen the investigation to punish players?
Not as severely as those who authorize it. They can't act alone. This can't be a player-only thing. This is in conjunction with the higher authorities within the team structure.
And last thing, Plaschke, you said biggest since 1919. That would be bigger than steroids. You're saying that because World Series were affected here, correct?
Because steroids didn't affect outcomes of games so much as this did. I want to ask Bob. Bob, do you think Boston was cheating? Do you think the Red Sox were cheating last couple of years?
Can I say I know they didn't? No, of course not. I have to allow for that possibility, Bill. I'll go that far. I have to allow for that possibility.
I think every fan of every team has to allow for that possibility of their own team. That's the shocker to me. We started about Michael Fiers was on the Astros. Did he change teams? Well, guys are changing teams all the time. Guys know when your team's playing the other team, what they're doing. It's an amazing thing to me. We'll move on now. Buy or sell two, another story I want to get your take on here. Kyler Murray quoted in the Arizona Republic saying he thinks he could Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson and play football, baseball at the same time. And here's the quote. Quote, I've been playing both my whole life. I would love to add that to the resume. End quote. Sarah, buy or sell him thinking that? Buy or sell him saying that? Buy or sell him doing that?
I'm selling him saying it, thinking it. You can't blame him. He's a guy who's had success at both. But if I'm the Cardinals, I'm like, okay, we're one season in, and I guess it went better than maybe some thought, but it certainly didn't go great. Let's just focus on the football. And no, I don't think it's realistic right now for him to imagine doing both as a quarterback in the NFL.
See why?
I think it's doable, but he sort of messed up the order of operations. Normally, you go play baseball first and come back and play football. But overall, I'm not so sure that I know how well his major league track would go anyway. The guy played infield in high school, transferred to outfield in college. I'm not really sure how we're going to see what he would be as a baseball player anyway overall.
Bob Ryan?
Focus on football, bro.
Well, I'm looking at it this way. He may have loved them both equally, and he chose football first because it was more lucrative quicker, obviously, than slogging in the minor leagues in baseball and having that apprenticeship. He may like baseball even more, but football was a better option financially.
Bill Plaschke.
It's a moot point. Quarterbacks can't play both sports. They need quarterbacks every 12 months of the year in football. But it has to worry the Cardinals about whether this kid is all in or not.
All right. Ooh, that horn comes in quick. I guess only two topics in buyer sell. That does not help Mr. Yates and Mr. Ryan. Bob, I wanted to tell you, we might be talking about Brandon Ingram's game last night. Did you notice he was the third player under the age of 23 to have fewer than 25 shots and score 49 points or more in a game?
Don't do that to Bob.
Flashy Spade, showdown next.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy. Er.
Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy. Er.
Bill Plaschke, Sarah Spain, end of the weekend showdown. Good luck. The insanity that was Pelicans Jazz last night. Talking about Brandon Ingram's historic game, Bob Ryan. 49 under the age of 23 under 25 shots. Donovan Mitchell had 46. The foul with 0.2 seconds left. Gobert only hit one of two at the line. And then the overtime foul out of Gobert. Utah challenged, and this was not overturned. Bill, what caught your eye most?
Oh, B.I., Brandon Ingram caught my eye. He's having a breakout season. The Pelicans have won 9 of the last 12 games. They're getting Williamson back. They're going to make the playoffs. And B.I.'s were the big reason for it. So
congrats, Ingram. 49 points. If you're already there, how about you get to 50? I'm much more interested in the two terrible calls, both of them involving Gobert. In New Orleans, of all places.
I'm with you on Brandon Ingram and the Pelicans. They've got potential. You've got potential, Bill Plaschke. Show that too. Bucks 128, Celtics 123. Milwaukee is now 37-6. That pace is out to 70.55, repeating of course, wins. Do they have a shot at that, Sarah? And should they want to get to that number, 70 plus?
Listen, it would be really tough to get the 0.5, but the 70 is within reach, and I do think that they have a shot at it, but they got to focus on a championship and keeping Giannis around more than that.
Yeah, I think they get to 70 by accident. Giannis has played, is ranks 101st in the league in fourth quarter minutes played. They're doing this. They're not even trying to win in all these games. The competition is so poor throughout the NBA. Yeah, they can get
point 70. For Spain for the zinger. Point for the stat that Giannis is not even playing in the fourth quarter. It's amazing to me, Bill Plaschke. Sarah, something I should tell you. You're quite often saying my opponent made a great point. You did it with Stugatz. You did it with Plaschke earlier in the show. Bill, it's getting the FaceTime because of it.
This is a nice person.
Thank you. This weekend is the anniversary of the enactment of one of the worst rules in sports. Last year, don't forget, Patrick Mahomes in overtime, AFC Championship game against the Patriots. He never touched the ball because the overtime rule is so whack. Drew Brees earlier this winter never touched the ball against the Vikings. NFL's got to change this overtime rule before it burns him. It's going to burn him in the Super Bowl one time, and he'll be a great quarterback, an all-time quarterback, sitting on the sidelines. Both teams, it's almost like games ending in baseball, and the top team scores the top of the 10th. You don't get the bat in the bottom of the 10th. Change the rule, NFL. Make it like college.
Preach.
Change the rule.
And there's Sarah supporting Plaschke again. I love where this relationship is going. That's it. Enjoy the games. We're on a 71-and-a-half-hour break.